Hello, friends. Welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
So we kind of lied at the end of last year when we were like, we're going to bring the pod back, we're going to bring the pod back, and we did not. But
we did not.
We, better to be late than never or whatever.
We're just in this like very busy period of time.
Yes.
And soon that period will pass. And we'll be back on it again.
Yeah, and our head's in the game. We've got plans. We know what we're doing. So very many apologies from us for lying in our roundup of books of the year about the fact that we were going to try and be more on it with the pod. And then we didn't do that. So, Alice, the purpose of this episode is to take a look back at Q1, because we are nothing if not business bitches, and we can only think of the year in quarters. So we've just finished Q1, as the business bitches would say.
Yeah, got my and corporate hat on. Q1
we've got our
concluded.
Spreadsheets, we've got our, we've got our briefcases.
We're in our business casual.
Yes. So we're going to take a little look back at what we've read in Q1 and just give you a little update.
I think that sounds gorge. How is your reading going? Are you on track? How many books have you read? Tell me about
it. I'm very on track. So as I say at the end of every year when we record like a yearly roundup, I tend to have the same aspirations for every year, which is to read 52 books so that I'm averaging like one book a week. Because for me, that is very manageable and is something that I, you know, I should do given that I have the time. I could probably read more, but I like, you know, keeping it more casual. So yeah, I'm very much on track so far. How about you? How are you doing? Because you've been busy, so maybe you've been reading less than usual.
Yeah, my reading has been very slow. So I'm actually exactly equals pequels with you on 13, but my goal is normally double yours. I try to aim for 100 books a year. So that means I should be on around 25, but I'm on 13. But that's okay. I'm at peace with that.
With the year that you have had so far, could you imagine having found time to read like an additional 12 books?
No, I've completely fried my pie. Do you know what I mean? Like there
it was
is
never going to happen.
There's no gas left in the tank and I'm about to embark upon like the busiest month of my life. So I'm actually pleased that I have books to talk about. Do you know what I mean? Like that alone is good news for me. So I don't feel bad about it.
So we're not going to give you a deep dive into like every book we've read, but we'll name them.
I feel like
chat highlights.
Yeah, like skim through with like a quick little would you recommend or not vibe, and then if there's anything that's like particularly juicy, let's go in a little bit deeper.
Yes. Cool.
Who's going to go first? I'll let you go first.
So I actually began the year with listening to like 4 nonfiction books on Audible. I'd really got out of the habit of listening to my Audible. I backed up loads of credits because I just wasn't using them because I was just such a little podcast fiend. I'd really fallen out of the habit of listening to audiobooks. And I thought, why don't I try and segue back into listening to audiobooks by treating them more like podcasts and listening to non-fic.
Nice.
So I listened to two of the books I listened to at the beginning of the year, because that was when one of them was released, were the two nonfiction books by Aubrey Gordon, who is one of the hosts of Maintenance Phase, very beloved internet fat lady. So one of them was What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat and You Just Need to Lose Weight and 19 Other Myths About Fat People. And I would say you maybe don't need to listen to them both in quick succession, even though they're both great. Some of the material is kind of similar, because the first one, What We Don't Talk About, was Aubrey's first book, but then the second one, You Just Need to Lose Weight, was published as part of a series by a publisher that was doing a kind of like myth busting series around different areas of like contemporary life. So yeah, there is similar material in both, and I would say you should read both because they're great, but maybe not almost back to back, which is what I did.
If I was only going to read one, which one would you recommend?
I like the structure of You Just Need to Lose Weight and 19 Other Myths About Fat People. I feel like that's quite a good little way of structuring it. It's quite clear what the arguments are and what is being discussed. So I think maybe on balance, the most recent one. And also, Aubrey did not read the audiobook of the first one, but did read the audiobook of the second one. So You Just Need to Lose Weight is read by Aubrey herself. And I think she is much better than the narrator of the first book, who, weirdly, I've never experienced this with an audiobook, but it's not that the person necessarily pronounces things weird or wrong, but like misspeaks in a way that would be fine on a podcast where you don't have like endless time to keep going back and getting it right. But for an audiobook, I was kind of surprised. It was kind of janky.
I'm very surprised that they didn't have Aubrey just reading the first one as well.
I think maybe she didn't want to. I wonder if it was like a personal choice. But she does a great job of the second one, because obviously she does maintenance phase, so it's not like she's not used to, you know, chatting at length. So yeah, that was how I kicked off the year. What did you begin the year with?
Okay, so I kicked off the year with this, with these like aspirations to have a better reading year, because last year was also a little bit leaner than I prefer. So I kicked things off with a book called The Sad Ghost Club by Lise Meddings, which is a YA graphic novel about a teenager, a ghost, something like that. Really quick read, very cute. I have literally no memory of it now. So excellent start.
Fine.
And then I cruised straight from that into Bones and All by Camille DeAngelis.
Is that what the film is based on?
Yes. Now, I haven't even seen the movie, so this was a really rogue choice. It was just cheap on the Kindle, and I was like, cool, maybe that's going to be a fun read. It was quite a baffling read.
Okay, cool.
It's quite an odd book. It's the kind of book that I cannot possibly imagine how the film works. Have you seen the movie?
I have not. I was like vaguely interested. If it had been like put in front of my eyeballs, I would have watched it, but I didn't go out of my way to see it.
Yeah, I feel like I would very much like to see it. I like cannibalism. I'm interested in cannibalism. But I will say, having read the book, I'm not rushing to catch the film.
Okay. Legit.
Do you know what I mean? So basically, it was quite like a slow start for me, despite knocking out two books relatively quickly.
Yeah.
But then I finally read something which really did it for me. I read Now She Is Witch by Kirsty Logan.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, it's so fun. It's really good. She has such a lyrical way with words. So it's about, basically, it kind of does what it says on the tin. It's about a woman who is ousted from her home, accused of witchcraft, and she kind of ends up going on a sort of journey of self-discovery and also a literal journey. And I really liked it. It's queer. It's weird. There's loads of really good, grim shit in there. I thought it was great. So I really
Is it contemporary?
No, it's
contemporary or ye oldie days. Okay, yeah, interesting.
Oldie times. Yeah, I really liked it.
So then I read two other nonfiction books on audio. One was this goofy book, very popular with like self-improvement bitches, called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I was just kind of interested in it. Don't know why. And then
sorry to interrupt, but Atomic Habits, that sounds very like business bitch. That sounds
It is slightly business bitch. I don't know.
Were you in your girl boss era?
Maybe in January I was being like, how can I be more girl boss?
New year, new bet.
Yeah. And then I read this other nonfiction book called Food Isn't Medicine by Dr. Joshua Woolrich, who is like a kind of nice, non-bullshit, like dude who crops up around like nutrition and body stuff on Instagram. And I was like, you know what, I'm interested in what you have to say. And it's just basically about the nefarious ways that like food gets invoked, you know, like how food can cure cancer and like stuff like that. And very much kind of like personal responsibility around like food, as opposed to it just being like a thing that is part of our lives and blah blah blah. So that was really interesting. And then my first novel of the year was Wild Things by Laura Kay, who I think is wonderful. She writes really fun, great, like queer rom-coms and just general like queer contemporary fiction. And I really, really enjoyed that, which is about a group of friends buying a like dilapidated house in the country and setting up their kind of like supposed, you know, little utopia where one of the protagonist is in love with her female best friend, who is also part of the house buying project. And it's so good. I think it's out in May. I really like Laura's writing. And then I read A Helping Hand by Celia Dale, which was reissued last year. Did you give that to Beth for her birthday?
Yes, I did. Because so I desperately wanted to find something I knew that our friend hadn't read. And I knew that was a brand new reissue. So I thought it was very smart of me because it looked
the odds were good. So have you read it?
No, I haven't read it yet, but I do have a copy.
I liked it. I didn't love it. There were bits of it I thought it was going to be like life-changing, amazing. And it was like pretty good. And then it brought me back right at the end. That's my review.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say rush out and read it, but I also think you would probably get something out of it when you do read it.
There's nothing to me that like puts me off a book more, even though that's exactly the kind of thing I'd say to you. But it just immediately makes me think, well, I probably won't.
Yeah. In that case, I won't bother. Won't bloody bother. Yeah. So tell me, how did your reading then progress?
Okay, so then I went to New Orleans and I bought like 6 paperbacks with me, which in retrospect was a completely wild choice because I also bought a Kindle for that trip and I only read 2 books, which is still not bad going, but I was traveling with our most entertaining friend, Emily Hatzar, stained glass artist and absolute scream. She's a true clown. So I was larking about, I wasn't reading that much, but
I'm shocked that you took 6 physical paperbacks with you when you already had a Kindle and you were going to be hanging out with Emily Hatzar in your favorite place in the world, as if you were going to read 6 books of any description, let alone physical ones. You're such a mad bitch. I love it.
I'm old school. Do you know what I mean? I'm old school. I like to have options. You know, it's like, it's not that I imagined I would read 6, but I needed the reassurance potential that I had. Yeah. Like 6 potential chances to read the best book of my life.
Yes.
I also bought at least the same number of paperbacks in American bookshops. So
which could never have been predicted that you were going to do that. So
look,
it makes sense.
It's a shit show. Shit show from beginning to end, but I will never change and I will never learn. So the first one I read was this book called Idle Burning by Rin Usami. And this is about a teenage girl who, or I think maybe she's like in her late teens, who is completely obsessed with a pop star. And the whole book is just about this kind of like internet-based fandom of like these incredibly famous, beautiful pop stars. And right at the beginning of the book, her idol is caught slapping a fan on camera. Oh my god. I mean, I will actually say, I feel like the book ends up being much more quiet than that description maybe has made it sound. But I absolutely loved it. I love books about obsession, and this gal's kind of wacky, and that really ticks my boxes. So loved Idle Burning. I then tried to read Big Swiss by Jen Began. And at first, I didn't love it. And let me tell you why. It's very quirky. And at first, that quirkiness, that kind of perky, quirky, kind of indie girly vibe, I wasn't gelling with it. So I switched to Diary of a Void by Eli Yagi, which is about a woman who pretends that she's pregnant to get out of doing a menial task at work, finds that faking a pregnancy gets her out of lots of boring shit she doesn't want to do, and then ends up like trapped in that lie. And I really enjoyed that. But again, it was much more quiet. As novels go, it was way quieter than I expected it to be. So I enjoyed it. But then I went back to Big Swiss, which was the best decision of my life, because I ended up loving it so fucking much. I think all of that quirkiness actually turns out to be unpicked, examined. Like, it's not just being irreverent for the sake of it. Like, it's a really, really well-realized novel. It's really dark. It's funny as fuck. It's about a woman who, she works as a transcriptionist for a sex therapist, and she becomes obsessed with one of his patients. That's all I'm going to say. It just bangs. It absolutely
bangs.
Well,
once I've cleared my present backlog, that is on my list to read soon, so I'm really looking forward to it. I think I'm gonna love it.
You will have a good time. You'll have a good
time.
And
I'm looking forward to chatting about it with you, Alice, later.
your favourite podcast, Compadre?
Yes.
Where did your reading take you next?
So next,
I'm about halfway through my reading now.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. So the next book that I read is one I probably won't talk about in great detail because I'm planning to do an interview with the author when the book comes out. And I think people will get more out of that conversation than they will out of me trying to explain the book. But it's called Fat Talk by Virginia Sowell Smith. And the subtitle is Parenting in the Age of Diet Culture. And it is so good. It is so interesting. Like, I'm not a parent and I will, God willing, never be a parent. And so that's like a whole element of like fatness and body politics that I have never really had to like concern myself with, beyond the fact that I am like author of books for young people. So I have like a certain degree of responsibility in terms of how I communicate that element of my writing in my books. But it's just so, this book is fascinating in terms of like how to raise children in a way that is not like wildly destructive in terms of like creating little fatphobic monsters, or like how to kind of deal with your own anxieties around like what your child is eating. And it's just really thorough and it's really, really interesting. And I really hope that I do get to talk to Virginia, because I think she's really interesting. And this book is just very, yeah, I keep calling it like thorough, but it really is. There's like so many interviews with different like parents, different children. There's like proper research. It's really like, I feel like a new foundational text in the kind of fat stuff. So I'm really, really glad that I got to read that before it comes out. And, you know, a book that otherwise probably I would not have thought to read, like a parenting focused book, but it's so, so, so interesting.
Yeah. It sounds like a very valuable book. Like something that a lot of people would really benefit from reading.
Agree. Parents or otherwise. And then I went on holiday and I bought 3 books to take on holiday with me, 2 of which I have read, 1 of which is still on my TBR. The first book I bought to go on my little holiday was The Yellow Kitchen by Margot Villalaram. And then the second I bought on your recommendation.
I know what this one is.
It is Mouth to Mouth by Antoine Wilson.
Which is the next one that I read. It's the next one.
We're so in sync. So I feel like we need to talk about with Mouth to Mouth is, and you know, not laying the blame anywhere in particular, but don't you think it's bizarre that this book is so up our street and I never heard of it before you told me about it and you only found out about it by chance?
Yeah, I came across it in Waterstones and I like the look of it. I have never seen a peep of it online. I don't understand what's happened. Like, I don't understand. It's so fucking good. It's very like Patricia Highsmith. It's really gripping. And yet I feel like I'm yelling into a void. I just don't know anyone else who's read it.
My dad has read it.
What did he think? Tell me everything.
Yeah, he really liked it. I think he liked it slightly less than we did and was maybe expecting like a massive twist at the end. So then was like underwhelmed, but I loved it.
Because I finished it and my jaw was on the floor. My mouth was agape.
You were shook. Like,
what a fun experience from beginning to end.
And like, I did read it in almost one go. I think I've definitely read it in 24 hours. I think I read most of it in one go.
So that's actually explicitly what led me to pick it up, because loads of the quotes on the cover were people saying how quickly they read it. And I really wanted something that would just like grab me behind the belly button and drag me right through it to the very end. And it did deliver that.
So would you like to tell our good friends at home, who inevitably for some reason will not have heard of this book, what the book is?
Yeah, let me nutshell it for you. So basically so the blurb on the back of the book describes it as a man saves another man from drowning. He then stalks this man and kind of infiltrates his life. But the framework of the book, which really surprised me at first, because I was like, what the fuck am I reading? This isn't what I was expecting. this man who saves another man from drowning bumps into an old friend at an airport like 20 years later, and he's telling this old college friend this story. So it has this really interesting, like, reflective framework where we keep being pulled back to the present day, and then he's sinking back into the memory. It is such an intriguing way of telling the story. At first, I was like, why would you put this degree of distance between an otherwise really interesting story? But it completely justifies itself. It's so clever. I just, I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
I agree. And I do think that, you know, we talk about this every so often, the fact that, like, there are some authors with whom a comparison is meant to, like, draw you in. But I'm just like, absolutely not. Like, it's not... That's a completely inappropriate comparison. Whereas I do think on this occasion, like, the two on the cover that are mentioned are like Donna Tartt and Patricia Highsmith. And I think actually in terms of like the vibe and the 90s setting, especially for like the Donna Tartt thing, I think are actually like not inappropriate.
Yeah, 100% agree.
I just loved it. I cannot believe that it would have passed me by had you not found it the old fashioned way. By looking in a bookshop.
Is that as soon as I started reading it, I was like, this is a Bethany Rutter book, but also I could think of like three other people who I knew would really enjoy it. So I really hope that the old word of mouth machine kicks in. I mean, the other thing as well, for all we know, it's sold a fucking truckload to like, I don't know, a middle-aged male audience, and we've just missed it because our book world is very female and, you know, very much of a certain demographic. So I don't know, maybe we're like talking smack about it and actually it's doing great. But
maybe what I should say is I think it's weird that nobody thought to send us a proof, because obviously
yeah, like, let's say, you know, what we mean.
Yeah, I do think it's weird because it does feel very transparently like a book that we would like. So yeah, I do think it's a bit bizarre that we had not heard one word about it from either the publisher or the general public. What did you read after you read Mouth to Mouth?
Okay, so I read Mouth to Mouth, and then I read I'm a Fan by Sheena Patel, which had been on my radar, obviously, for ages, because I'm a Fan had the total opposite experience of Mouth to Mouth. I feel like it got so much word of mouth attention, and then it got loads of critical attention as well. So I've been excited to read it. I knew loads of my pals loved it. And then I found myself in a Foyles, and I saw that beautiful, glittery, hardback Foyles special edition copy, and I just had to have it. And I was glad that I made that choice because I absolutely loved it. I assume, have you read it yet?
I have not, but I 100% will.
Yeah, so you'll get to it and you'll have a great time. But basically, it's about a woman. Let me see if I can phrase. It's really difficult to phrase this succinctly. It's about a woman. So many of these books, I've just realized, I'm using the word obsession a lot. All I seem to read is books about people who are obsessed with things. But anyway... it's about a woman who is obsessed with the other mistress of the man that she's having an affair with. So she, the narrator, has a boyfriend. She's having an affair with a married man. This married man sleeps around with lots of different people. He's having lots of affairs behind his wife's back. And one of them is this quite kind of popular social media influencer. So the narrator stalks her online obsessively and is really obsessed with like what this woman has that she does not, that means that she is the favored mistress. Oof, it's so fucking good. It says so many just interesting things about our online behavior, about this like duplicity, and I loved it.
It sounds very juicy and I'm very looking forward to reading it. I think there was just something about the size of the hardback that kind of put me off. I don't know. It felt like a large book that I knew I wouldn't want to carry or hold.
You know what, though? It's one of those books where there is a huge amount of white space. It's one of those books where almost every page is a new chapter. There's lots of chapters that are just a single paragraph. Like, it's very broken up. So I hate carrying books that are inconvenient. I generally have quite a small handbag. I've got tiny little doll hands.
You do.
I read on my commute. I do not like to be inconvenienced. But actually, this is a really nice sized hardback. It's quite compact and you fly through it.
I look forward to it. So then I read A Big Storm Knocked It Over by Laurie Colwyn, who maybe we will discuss imminently when we are talking to Catherine Heine, who I know is also a fan of Laurie Colwyn. So Laurie Colwyn had a book, she's long dead, but had a book reissued last year called Happy All the Time, which was one of my favourite books I read last year. And then since then, I've got really into Laurie Colwyn in general. She's very, very, very of a similar vibe to Catherine Heine. So if you like Catherine Heine books, I would maybe read Laurie Colwyn as well. And yeah, Big Storm Knocked It Over. Loved it. Just love all Laurie Colwyn books, which I bought all of in New York when I went last year. And then I read another quite random book that I heard about on maybe Twitter. I don't know who it was who was talking about it. I don't know why they were talking about it, but I just, as soon as I read about it, I was like, I'm going to buy that. And I went onto like A Books or whatever and bought a secondhand copy for 99p. And it's called Still Missing by Beth Gutchen. Have you ever heard of this book?
No, I've never heard of it.
Literally all it is about, so it, I think it was first published in 1980, and it is about a woman who, right at the beginning of the book, her like 6-year-old son goes missing, and that's it. Like, it's just about this woman's experience of her son disappearing on the way to school. And it's so great. Like, I don't know who Beth Gutchen is, I don't know what else she's written, but it's just a great, thrilling, gripping, emotional book, and I loved it.
I'm sorry, is that fiction?
It is, yeah, it's just, it's fiction, yeah. It's a novel, it's, yeah. I think it's been reissued by Persephone, so maybe that's why someone was talking about it, but I did not get a chic Persephone edition. I got, like, a proper 80s Ooh. Cover, and I would really recommend it. I really thought it was great. I think she's a really juicy writer, and I, yeah, another book that would have completely passed me by. I'd have never heard of it, and I absolutely loved it. What did you read next?
So next I read a book called The Center by Aisha Manazir Siddiqui.
I want to read this. Tell me about it.
So it's a funny book. So it's about a translator who ends up attending this like very mysterious language school, which boasts complete fluency within a week. And like, she finds out about it through her boyfriend who like, he's a very talented linguist. He speaks like 5 languages. And then he surprises her on a trip home to visit her family in Pakistan. He surprises her by being totally fluent in Urdu, even though he definitely previously had been struggling to pick up any Urdu that she tried to teach him. So he kind of reveals like, it's this like super secret school, but he refuses to explain how. He's like, I don't know. It just works. They just have this technique that works. So it kind of has, I was expecting slightly stronger culty vibes. It actually says lots of really interesting shit about language and what it is to have a mother tongue, a second language, to grow up speaking English, but also kind of intrinsically feel that a different language sort of fits your brain better, I guess. And then, yeah, it had like a really kind of surprisingly fun ending. That's the best way I can describe it. But it's quite an odd book. I think I expected it to lean much more heavily on a kind of cult energy. And it actually really doesn't do that. It's a lot kind of more thoughtful in what it's doing.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
That makes sense.
Because I feel like maybe we had identical aspirations for the book in that we both thought we knew what it was going to be and what we wanted it to be. Because, yeah, I definitely got more sinister cult vibes.
Oh yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's fucking sinister. It's sinister as hell. I think it's just there's definitely a more thought-provoking kind of core to it. And also like there's something about the texture of the language which I can only discuss once you've read the book.
Okay, I look forward
to it. But
it
was just really funny that a friend of mine was reading it and she made this comment that she had no idea how bang on her comment was, but I couldn't tell her that because it would have been a massive spoiler, but it's good fun. It's fun. It's a fun read. And then I followed that up with like the total opposite. Have you heard of The Sluts by Dennis Cooper?
Only through you, I think.
Oh boy. Oh man. So I saw this on TikTok. And what the thing with TikTok, I guess, is that like you might see a TikTok recommending a book and then buy it immediately, but then not read the book for like months and months, by which time you've forgotten the content of the TikTok. So that's what happened with this book. It's set in the early noughties in internet chat rooms, and it's this like specific message board dedicated for men to review escorts, and like they all get obsessed with this one sex worker called Brad, who like is infamous for being incredibly beautiful and will indulge any fantasy whatsoever. So as all these different men spend time with this sex worker, they start kind of going further and further. Their reviews get darker and darker. It ends just in the most kind of addictive, violent, frightening way. But as each review, sorry, I'm being really inarticulate here. I feel like as the reviews progress, there starts to be seeds of doubt as to whether or not everyone is telling the truth, whether or not they have all actually spent time with the same sex worker, or whether it's all a big hoax. It is an incredible read, like queer horror in its absolute most grimy and violent. But I did it, like I had to take breaks from it, like on the tube, lower the book, take a deep breath, like, fuck me, what the hell am I reading? And I remember thinking, like, man, I feel like that TikToker did not give me adequate warning about how violent this book is. I finished the book, I then rewatched the TikTok, and I was like, oh no, she makes it very clear that it's like literally one of the most violent things she's ever read. I just completely forgot that context. So I will say that's on me, but I don't want our good pod readers to march into this expecting a fun romp, because honestly, if I had to speak every single content note out loud, I feel like the pod would get flagged. I would end up on some kind of list. Like, it's just, it goes everywhere you can imagine and so much further.
Well, I'm intrigued.
I know, that's a really weird kind of recommendation, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it will ruin your fucking life, but you will not be able to put it down.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you read it. Maybe I'll read it. Maybe it's not one for, I don't know. We'll see.
It's not a book that I would like rush to push into your hands. You know?
Good to know. So my most recent book, until I was reading the book that we are talking to the author for, was very different to that. And it was It's Complicated by Emma Hughes, who is another one, like Laura Kay, of my lady author comrade, in that, you know, we all write kind of contemporary romantic fiction of the lady variety. And I loved It's Complicated. It's out in the summer, and it's about a gal who is very much kind of trying to figure out if she wants to have children or not, and if she does, like how she's going to facilitate that, and then ends up in this kind of relationship friendship with a random man that she meets, and they're trying to figure out whether they will have a platonic co-parenting relationship, and loads of other stuff going on, but it's mostly about that. And as someone who is not, as I've said, interested in being a parent, really don't vibe with books that are about, like, generally not that interested in books about that decision. I loved It's Complicated, and I think maybe it's just because I find Emma's writing so charming. I think she's very perceptive about like what makes people and what makes friendships and what makes people fall in love, and I loved it. So if you like a kind of contemporary romance novel, I would definitely keep an eye out for It's Complicated, which is out in the summer. And then I read Games and Rituals by Katherine Heine. Does that bring you up to date, or have you got something between?
I've got two more.
Tell me about them.
Okay, so first of all, I reread a book called The Beach by Alex Garland, which
I know the one.
Is like one of my dirty little secrets. It's one of my all-time favorite books. But I feel like as time progresses, it becomes increasingly embarrassing to recommend because, you know, like I think Alex Garland is such an incredible writer in terms of his characterization and his plotting. It's just superb. But you can't escape the fact that this book is essentially about a bunch of Westerners who colonize An island in Thailand. There are no Thai people in this space whatsoever. The only Thai people in the book are either working in like the hotels and restaurants that they visit, or they are literally like weed farming, gun wielding, like thugs. You know, there's a whole bit about the N-word in there. There's like a bit that's really transphobic. It's just not a book that has aged well at all. It's aged like milk. But he's a really great character writer. And sometimes when I'm really struggling with my own writing, it really is helpful for me to reread work that exemplifies the thing that I'm struggling with. So in this case, it was meeting lots and lots and lots of strangers in quick succession. So I reread it. As I said, it's such an incredible book in terms of character and plot, but there's just so much in there that I'm not a fan of, so make of that what you will.
And worth revisiting.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, man. I feel like I will, as I'm saying all of this more as a caveat, because this is a podcast where we recommend books. So I can't just discuss it without being critical. If we were in the pub, however, I would be able to tell you like half a dozen stories of moments in my life where I've like bonded with someone over this book. It's complicated. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's a complicated relationship.
I hear you.
But the audiobook is also surprisingly good. And it's read by Alfie Allen, Lily Allen's brother, as far as
intriguing.
I can tell. Unless there's another Alfie Allen out there.
I'd be shocked if it was not Alfie Allen, the actor, Lily Allen's brother.
As soon as we finish recording, I'm going to Google that. And then it's probably not. And I'm going to feel like an absolute fool. But whatever, we can have my ignorance be recorded for the memories. Anyway, then after the beach, so I did that via audio. So simultaneously, I was reading a short story collection. Not Games and Rituals, however. Before I read Games and Rituals, I read a book called This Is My Body, Given for You by Heather Parry. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, so she has this collection. It's not out yet. It's coming out with a Scottish press called Haunt Publishing, I think they're called. And this collection is just so dark and weird and grimy and bodily and beastly. And I just had a really good time in it. I'd really recommend it for people who enjoyed Salt Slow by Julia Armfield. Like, it's that kind of vibe. I think that she has a really wild brain, man. Heather Parry's brain is just someone else. It's something else. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And then it was a very stark contrast to finish that collection, which really kind of sits in that more of a horror space, to then read Games and Rituals, which I also completely loved, but it's like the antithesis. Very it real is. World. Yeah, very, you know.
Humans, relationships.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what Games and Rituals by Catherine Heine, who, when we end this chat, we're going to go and chat to for a forthcoming episode of the pod. So that will be nice for you.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So I feel like we've both had pretty good little Q1s. I think we've read quite different stuff. We both enjoyed our stuff. I've only had a couple of things I didn't particularly love that I didn't bother to, I named but didn't bother to slag off on the pod.
I do think it's funny though, isn't it, that because we've not been recording, we've only got two books in common, one of which I recommended to you immediately and it was so on point that you went and bought it as soon as you had the opportunity to. The other we've read for the pod.
True. Times have changed, man.
I know, but there'll be more reading in sync over the next however many months as we record more podcast episodes and we get back in our stride.
Yeah, because, you know, I would like to keep the old pod going and I know people miss us when we're not around, so.
Yeah, there's life in the old girl yet, I would say.
I agree. Shall we take this opportunity to plug some of your events that are coming up, Alice Slater?
Yes, we could. When is this book, when is this podcast going live?
Friday,
perfect. Okay.
If I get my act together, or next week. One of them.
Either way, within plenty of time. Okay, so you may or may not know, my name is Alice Slater, and I am also, as well as being a humble podcast host, I'm also a debut novelist. My novel, Death of a Bookseller, is coming out this year, and I have a range of events coming up all over the country, and also going all the way up to Scotland, that you may like to attend, if any of them are in your neck of the woods. So you can find the details on my various social media channels, Alice MJ Slater, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. But in a nutshell, Bethany and I are heading together to Oxford on the 26th of April to Daunce Summertown.
Yep.
That's where we're going, isn't it? Yeah.
That's where we're going.
To chat about my book. So that's going to be really fun. That's like a pre-publication chinwag. And then on publication day itself, the 27th of April, I'm going to be at Gower Street with Julia Armfield doing a publication day Q&A and having some drinks. That's going to be fun. Tickets are available for that from Waterstones. And then the following week, you'll find me in Manchester. I'm going up to Edinburgh and I'm going to West Kirby. Again, you can check my social media for links to all the tickets. And then finally, the following week, you're going to find me in Brighton at the Feminist Bookshop and in Leighton at Phlox on Francis Road. So come along to one, all of them, none of them, whatever you fancy. But it'd be really cool to see you guys and have a chat about my book.
The most important one is Oxford, in my opinion.
Oh my God, then I honestly thought that you were going to say one that I'd forgotten. And I was like, God fucking damn it. I was so proud of myself for reading off the tour. Yeah.
Just being annoying.
I'm just ribbing.
Because, you know, if you want the full What Page Pod experience, come to Oxford on
come
the 26th.
Come and see the lads. It'll be a hoot.
It will. Well, I will end this chat now, and then we've got a little bit of time before we talk to Catherine Heine, which you, dear listeners, will be able to hear in the fullness of time.
Yay, goodbye. I can't wait. Goodbye.
Bye.